Welcome to The Preservationists, the monthly radio show for fans of local historic architecture, the history of unique buildings, and the people from our community working to preserve and restore them. I'm Astronomist Ray, the Vice President and a board member at Lower Columbia Preservation Society, and the host of The Preservationists. This month we are chatting with Charlene Larson, the President of Partners for the PAC. Partners for the PAC is a coalition of local organizations that maintain the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, the PAC, for affordable public arts and educational events. So, Charlene, how long have you been here in Astoria?
Since 1965.
Nice. And how long have you been a part of the PAC?
Part of the PAC started probably in about 1980, 1981. My introduction was to the music director, Art Vaughn, of Clatsop Community College, and the stringed ensemble. And we rehearsed in the basement classroom of the Performing Arts Center. And at the time, our son, Eric, was 6 to 9 months old. I set him on a blanket, and he watched as I played the string bass in the stringed ensemble.
That's really impressive to hear. So now, your journey began as a musician with the PAC, and now you're the president. So can you tell me a little bit about that process of, you know, what drove your passion for being a part of this organization?
I think participating in the various musical groups that rehearsed and performed at the Performing Arts Center over the years, the North Oregon Coast Symphony, the North Coast Symphonic Band, playing in ensembles with the North Coast Chorale, all of those led to that interest and realization of what a treasure that particular venue was for the community.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing about the Charlene Larson Center for Performing Arts is that it has somewhat of a unique history. It originally began as a church.
The building itself was Trinity Lutheran and built in the 1930s. Then when Trinity Lutheran merged with Zion Lutheran and they built a new church edifice down on Duane or on Exchange Street, Clatsop Community College purchased the building in 1974 and in 1977, it opened as a performing arts center. In 2011-2012, Partners for the PAC entered into an operating agreement with Clatsop Community College to actually operate the building, do everything in relation to performances and rehearsals and maintain the integrity of the building. And then the college in June of 2020 facilitated a purchase of the Performing Arts Center to our partner, Trinity LLC, and at which time it was then named the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, and the Partners for the PAC became the responsible 501c3 entity that manages and runs the facility.
And you guys are a nonprofit organization.
Yes, we're kind of a unique nonprofit because all the 9 partners that are part of Partners for the PAC are nonprofits, and Partners for the PAC formed as an umbrella organization and a 501c3 to use that as a presenting space and a meeting space, plus booking and local and touring artists.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so cool how it is evolved and how all those organizations came together with that. Aside from the history of the Charlene Larson Center for Performing Arts, there is a lot of unique architectural features about the building and, you know, things that make this building so unique and special in itself, besides the performers and all the artists that come there and gather. What are some of those features that stand out and that make this so original?
Well, the architectural features comes from the well-known architect, John Wicks, who was the original designer and architect as a church building. And so the prominence of those features are the stained glass windows, the high arches in the auditorium, and all those features, you know, such as a bell tower, and the approach of it is and looks like a church building, but from the outside. And then when you enter the inside, you have the influence of John Wicks's daughter, Ebba Wicks Brown, of Brown, Brown & Grider, who did that redesign for Clatsop Community College in 1974 and turned it into a performing arts center. So it looks more like a black box to some extent from the inside when you're looking at the stage and behind the stage walls, but you still have all those original designs of a partial bell tower, parapets. The cedar shingles are actually from the Tillamook Burn in the 1930s. And we have the original plans and copies of those plans of both of those architects.
Wow, that's amazing. And it was his daughter that did the redesign.
Correct.
Wow, that's really special. So you can kind of see a little bit of like some form of what it was like a church, but it did it change significantly with the interior design?
It did, because if you look in the stairwells as you're going up and down the stairs and then up into the balcony, and if you lift a panel of the ceiling tile and you look, you see how it was originally. And then when you go into the basement, then you really see the redesign of what had been there before into soundproof classrooms and practice rooms that are soundproof. And it looks more like, you know, that classroom setting and a performance space downstairs for practice and lessons.
Yeah, and the stage and the backstage. Yeah, and then also the audience, of course.
And the audience and the seating. It is a marvelous setup for those 190 seats that are on the main auditorium floor. You have a sight line from every seat, the way it's designed.
Yeah, and then with those remains of the church feel, do you notice, like, when you're walking, we kind of touched a little bit on this, where you can see remnants of the church past. Do you ever walk around and feel like this was very church, you know, the Trinity Church vibe to begin with?
Yes, and I think Kit Ketchum, who was on our board, has said it most, because the original property was Episcopal Church Sisters, and she wrote an article, and it's on our website, about what that property was used for initially, and then in the 30s became Trinity Lutheran. And when you look in the old photographs, you see the parsonage in what is now the parking lot, and the Josie Pepper building behind was part of that church property also. So yes, you do.
Yeah, because I know back in like older photos, there's buildings surrounding it more closely. And those are what those buildings were, the remnants of it.
Correct.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And that kind of leads us into my next question. Over time, this building has evolved. There's a lot of evolution of the Charlene Larson Center for Performing Arts. And more recently, there has been historic preservation and restoration efforts done. Can you tell me a little bit about some of those efforts that have been ongoing?
The Clatsop Community College was able to kind of do some repairs to the building and match that historical facade after the 2007 storm. And in those efforts, you know, part of the bell tower had to come off, but you still needed to maintain that look of the bell tower and the stained glass windows. They were protected then with plexiglass, and in time that has deteriorated. So other storms have come and gone. There was a restoration and preservation efforts in 2014 when Lucien Sverdlov and Chris Gustafson and the students of the Clatsop Community College preservation class did restoration of the east-facing windows and the basement casement windows. And then in relation to the stained glass, that occurred in 2022. We had a storm in 2020 that blew off a lot of that plexiglass that I chased down 16th Street and put in piles, you know, in the parking lot. But we had a firm, Associated Crafts and Willett Hauser Architectural Glass, come and do that restoration of the 16th Street side stained glass window. And with the Lower Columbia Preservation Society grant and other donors providing that funding, that's kind of the first step in repair. So we picked the most serious damage. If you look at it now, you really can't tell that it's a restoration. It looks like it should be. And many of the other stained glass windows on the north side and the south side need to have that same treatment. And Willett Hauser had gone through and done an assessment of all the windows. So we have that. Large windows, small windows, everything that needs to be done, we have that. So it's just a matter of raising the funds or the grants to do the rest of that work.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, thinking back to those storms, those are challenges that occur. And it can be difficult to deal with those challenges. Is there any other common challenges that are faced when trying to restore or preserve? Is there a common issue that ever comes up?
What we've noticed in the past few years is we had leaks in the roof. We had leaks where the roof and the building come together. We had leaks where there was, you know, electrical service entrance. Every place where there's a hole, water finds its way in. So this year, we were able to raise the funds and through generous contributions, be able to replace the roof.
So for funding these restoration and preservation projects, how do you guys obtain the funds in order to complete these projects? You mentioned through grants and raising funds and maybe some support from like donors or other organizations. Where do the funds come from?
Through generous donors, through granting agencies, and the support of the community helps us do those kinds of things, plus any revenue that we can put towards those kind of projects from the events that go on at the Performing Arts Center. So I always say from the stage, I don't care what the program is, I just want you to come through the door, enjoy, and then make your generous donation to continue what we do.
We'll return back to Charlene Larson's interview in just a moment. I'd first like to invite you to this month's Topics in Preservation. Topics in Preservation is a monthly discussion and conversation held at the LCPS office in downtown Astoria. This month's topic is color selection for the historic home exterior, strategies for color selection and placement. This month's topics is hosted by Lori Serafin, an LCPS board member, who will do a presentation about traditional colors for middle, Victorians, colonial revivals, and craftsman-styled homes. She'll also discuss strategies for choosing colors and color placement. She has considerable expertise in this topic and will be ready for questions and conversations about projects people are working on or thinking about. Also hosting topics is LCPS board member Sean Malloy. We'll do a short presentation about Nordic architectural tradition, specifically their use of Falu red. Be sure to find us online at www.lcpsociety.org. The event will be held at the LCPS office on 389 12th Street, downtown Astoria. We hope to see you there. Now, Charlene, one thing we talked a lot about is how the communities involved in the PAC preservation and restoration. One thing we touched about was how Clatsop Community College's historic preservation program is involved. Can you tell me a little bit further about that?
It is. And the present instructor, Ryan, would like to bring his class back and do some more of that restoration this fall to the windows and really delve into that history of the stained glass windows and how that can be preserved.
Yeah, and aside from the restoration efforts of the windows, there was a restoration of the SD pipe organ as well, and that's been ongoing.
Yes, it's an SD pipe organ, Opus 1429. The organ itself came down in the late 30s, about 1938, on a barge from Dr. John Selwood's home in the Selwood District of Portland, and then it was installed. And there's a nice article with photographs on our website of the history of that organ. We had a gentleman by the name of Jason Newman Grable, who came to us in 2022 and did those initial two phases. Well, actually, we contracted him earlier than that, in about 2010, and he did an assessment of what the repairs would be, and then he was able to do two phases of those repairs, and in 2012 was the first performance in 38 years as that first step to raising funds to do the rest of the restoration. Mm-hmm. So we're still at that, hoping to do the third phase. It's playable, and when it's played, it goes all the way through you.
Wow.
And we have had several concerts performed on that ESTI, Opus 1429, and we look forward to sharing that with the community again. It still needs restoration of the chorale rank, which is the higher notes.
Yeah, and for that restoration project, do you guys have a timeline on when the next phase begins?
We don't, because, you know, the roof was first. Now the heating system is next. The pneumatic controls are giving up, and so we have to figure out how to go digital. We were very encouraged to be a recipient of the Energy Trust of Oregon Incentive Program to be able to change out all the general lighting this year to LED lights. So that's one of those steps. And that was through that program at no cost to us, which was wonderful. And the next step is kind of looking at that upgrade to the actual stage lighting, which was more kind of specific to some LED lighting, lighter cams, and all kinds of things that I know nothing about. But we have some good local folks who know a lot, and we have that connection to Energy Trust of Oregon, too. But we're using all our local experts to advise us through our facilities committee and make sure that we're working on a path that makes sense.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That really is. You guys have had a very busy past couple of years with the restoration of things, and especially the stained glass windows. And looking forward to even more busier times now this next upcoming years.
There's a backstory on those stained glass windows.
Yeah.
Because they are signed by the artist.
Oh.
And so in the 50s, and there was some research done on the artist. So that's more of a story we need to delve into, do a little more on the background of the artist and the history and the aspects of how those apostle windows were installed, and then how we can show them off in the future, both internally for productions and externally for the community.
Yes, and I personally love the look of the stained glass windows, and that kind of leads into the next question I wanted to ask you. You know, do you have a personal favorite architectural feature about the PAC Center? You know, you spend a lot of time there, I imagine. Was there something that stood out to you maybe, you know, in your past or even now that, you know, you feel that has always been the thing that you've always loved or adored about the PAC?
I think I have something that kind of bedevils me. It's the auditorium lights that you cannot reach to change out the very large bulbs that are in them. They are beautiful hanging chandelier kinds of lights. If anyone has a scissor lift that they'd like to donate, there needs to be some repairs to those. Again, it's stained glass, and it's glass all the way around. And over the years, I guess things have happened. But I spend some of my time when I'm on stage looking up at those lights and wishing I could get up there to put a new bulb in because it's burned out, you know.
Yeah, that would be the dream. Yeah, no, that's actually an interesting feature.
In the auditorium, when you look up, you see those amber stained glass, and they have iron around them. And
yeah, that's very nice. I'll have to take a second look the next time.
And you can get up close and personal with one of them in the balcony.
Oh, okay. That's a good tip.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. That's such an interesting little feature that they have there. Are there any other unique features that you'd like to share with our listeners? Any hidden gems?
There are. Look at all the small windows. They are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just get overlooked because they're small.
They're all over the place, and they have these wonderful designs. And if you look at the large windows and the small windows, you see that theme of, and it is stained glass and rippled glass. And mm-hmm. some of those repairs, you know, really need to be done.
Exactly. One thing I wanted to bring up was, you know, with the modern day amenities that we need with technical sound equipment and lighting, you know, this is a performing arts center. You want it to be the most quality as possible. Is there any challenges at all, you know, facing that, you know, while maintaining the historical integrity of the building? Is that an issue at all, or does it, you know, how does that work?
I think those modern amenities and the enhancements, and we started in kind of a very rudimentary order when COVID-19 hit, because we put all touchless fixtures in all the restrooms. Now, there are pluses and minuses, but we did it. So that's a done thing.
Yes.
And the lighting, it's time for that upgrade. And as I said, that general lighting was changed out to LED. But the stage lighting is kind of that next step to do that properly and enhance what we're not able to do now because of the age of the fixtures, and things don't work quite right. Mm-hmm. And then we have our little sound booth, and it's pretty much hidden away. People really don't know it's there, but it's adequate for what we're doing now. But upgrades to that stage lighting and the presentation on stage is really important. Mm-hmm. For us, for the future.
Yeah, it is. It's important, you know, that we recognize and keep those spaces, you know, nice and good for them. So,
yes. Good. Yes.
And then, you know, we talk so much about, you know, the future plans of the PAC Center and the efforts that are going to be happening. But is there anything else that we should, you know, that you want to maybe hint to the listeners that is coming up with preservation or restoration, aside from the big projects of everything?
Big project. Oh, the south wall.
Oh.
If you know anything about cedar shakes and shingles from 1930 that were burned in the Tillamook burn, they're starting to show their age. So So nothing lasts forever.
Yeah.
But my idea is we will take off each one of those cedar shakes and we'll make a special stamp for them. And then you can purchase one of those Tillamook burn cedar shakes to help restore the south wall of the Performing Arts Center.
Yeah.
With your contribution.
That's amazing. And now, Charlene, is there anything specifically that you wish more people knew about the Charlene Larson Performing Arts Center? Is there something that you feel, you know, because you have a lot of passion and importance of why this is meaningful to you, is there anything that you wish more people we're aware about?
We have the best off-street parking of any venue.
That's true.
Yes.
You really do.
We have a friendly and impactful performance space with gracious volunteers and really nice seating with good view lines to the stage. And we always want you to come and enjoy our hospitality. We usually at intermission serve cookies, and we serve coffee from Columbia River Coffee Roaster, who floats the arts. And
yes,
without those community support of all the people that I've mentioned before and others, it wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And without the support and the encouragement of all the partners and their financial efforts to keep the venue going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so community oriented because we have so many community members who perform there and volunteer, and it's all community supported. So that's something that's huge, and that's really special that we can have that here in this community. Is there anything else that you would like to share at all about the PAC Center, or anything that you hope people take away from this?
Well, I hope you come and look at the lighting.
Yes,
in the
I
auditorium.
Will.
Yes, yes. And just, I've really enjoyed visiting with you today and telling folks about a passion.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it really does shine through when you talk about it. So that's so inspiring. So, and it was a pleasure talking with you. And I appreciate you coming on the show today and talking and sharing with our listeners about this. Until next time, I'm your host, Astronomist Ray, here with
Charlene Larson.
Thank you to my guest, Charlene Larson, for joining me today and sharing about the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, the PAC Center. I appreciate you taking the time to discuss with me about the history, architecture, preservation, and restoration efforts that have been completed in the past and planned for the future. Thank you for tuning in to this month's episode of The Preservationist. We hope you tune in again next month. The Preservationist airs every third Tuesday of the month at 9:30 a.m. on KMUN. I'd like to give a special thanks to the team here at KMUN, the staff, volunteers, and members of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, and thank you to Camila Swerdloff for producing our theme song for The Preservationist. Thank you for tuning in to The Preservationist, and remember, anyone can be a preservationist. The Preservationist is a production of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, LCPS, for KMUN, written and produced by Astronomist Ray. I'm Astronomist Ray. Thanks for tuning in.